नमो ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादिसुतारिणे शील प्रभुपाद की जाए। सो नाउ वी आर स्टार्टिंग the part 2 of Brihad Bhagavatam. We completed the narration of part 1 this morning, and now we are starting with part 2. And the background briefly discussed earlier, Janmejay Parikshit Maharaj's son asked Jaimini Rishi, after hearing Mahabharat from him, that he wanted to hear more. And then Jaimini started to discuss or describe this Brihad Bhagavatam, which has been narrated by or presented by Srila Sanatana Goswami. It's actually originally a discussion between Jaimini and Janamejay. And the first part discussed about Narad Muni's search for the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. Who is the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy? Which actually meant, who is the greatest devotee of Krishna? And that search actually, which he started in Prayag with a Brahmana who was worshipping the Lord on the bank of the Ganges, gradually went all the way up to Golok Vrindavan. And there Narad Muni saw how Krishna was dealing with the residents of Vrindavan. He saw how Krishna is dealing with Srimati Radharani. Like here we are talking about here the search of the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. And Narad Muni saw how Krishna is addressing Srimati Radharani. Addressing her, your very life. Krishna considers Radharani to be his very life. So in this way, Narad Muni could see who is actually the greatest devotee. Anyway, that we discussed this morning, and now we are starting the discussion of the part 2 of Brihad Bhagavatam, the second part. And this part is the description. The description starts with one Brahmana who was a worshipper of Devi, Durga Devi, in Kamakha. In Assam, there is a place called Kamakha, and there is a very famous temple of Durga. And this Brahmana was a devotee of Durga. And one day in a dream, he received the Gopal mantra from Devi. In a dream, Devi gave him the Gopal mantra. And asked him to chant the mantra. So being instructed in this way, this Brahmana started to chant the mantra. Not really knowing. Just because he received the mantra in a dream, he started to chant. And He used to think that by chanting the mantra, he'll get some material benefit. Generally, the worshippers of Durga want material benefit. And he thought that this mantra will give him some material benefit. So he started to chant, and then he went out on a pilgrimage. And in that pilgrimage, gradually, he came to various places. And so there he started to associate with the people there. He went to Benares, and there he met the many sannyasis, and they all were interested in liberation, as if liberation is within their control. They used to consider that. And he saw people from many different regions, especially sannyasis, propounding the theory of monism. And he went to the temple of Visheshwar, Lord Shiva's temple in Varanasi, Kashi, and then visited various ashrams there, and where he bowed down to the sannyasis and had discussions with them and rested in their company. He saw that the intelligence of this Brahman, these sannyasis, were very pure, or at least it seemed so from their philosophical talks. They spoke so eloquently. It seemed that they are really spiritually enlightened personalities. Their words describe liberation as something readily available, as if held in the palm of one's hand. And this inspired him to accept their opinion as perfect. You'd constantly hear from the descriptions of the Vedanta doctrine glorifying renunciation and liberation. He thus developed the desire to become a sannyasi himself. Still, out of respect for the goddess Durga Devi, and because it gave him pleasure within, by chanting the mantra he used to get the pleasure from within, he continued to chant that mantra. And one day he saw the deity of the mantra in his dream. The charm of Sri Gopal attracted him and gave him the greatest ecstasy. And thereafter, he could no longer find the mental strength to engage in anything other than chanting the mantra. Confused about what he should do, he became depressed. In one hand, he wanted to become a sannyasi and aspire for liberation, discuss Vedanta in the association of the sannyasis, who made him believe that, oh, liberation is readily available. Very soon you'll become Narayan. But on the other hand, he started to feel the inner joy in chanting the mantra, Gopal mantra. And he saw in a dream Gopal one day. His form was so attractive that he naturally became attracted to him. So, confused about what to do, he became depressed. Then in another dream, Lord Shiva came to him along with the goddess to instruct him. Lord Shiva told him, "Oh, you foolish person, don't take sannyas. Go at once to see Mathura. There in the Vrindavan forest, you will surely fulfill all your desires." So here we can see that although these sannyasis are worshippers of Lord Shiva, but they are not dear to Lord Shiva. When somebody is aspiring to become a devotee of Krishna, Lord Shiva directs them to Krishna, telling them, "Don't misassociate with these people. They all are no good. So go to Mathura. And there in the forest of Vrindavan, you'll fulfill your desire." Eager to go to Mathura, the Brahmans set off towards the district, all the while chanting the glory of the Lord. And on the way, he came to Prayag. There at the king of holy places, by the charming Jamuna within the Ganga, he found hundreds of saints who had gathered near the effulgent lotus feet of Lord Madhav to bathe at dawn in the month of Magh. On every side before him, he saw them conducting a great festival of worship of Sri Vishnu, with expressions of joyous devotion, like constant singing, offering obeisances, and reciting prayers. The loud congregational chanting of the Lord's names, along with music, dancing, sobbing, and plaintive cries of love, was very, very attractive. Innocent, ignorant, and amazed, he said to those Vaishnavas, "Excuse me, you singers, you reciters of prayers, and you who are falling on the ground like rods, my dear musicians, dear chanters and dancers, loudly crying out, 'Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.' You men adorned with beautiful tilak and attractive garlands, please come down for a moment and stop making such a racket. What is the ceremony you are observing? Whom are you so reverently worshipping?" So some of the Vaishnavas just laughed at him. Others told him, "You fool, just be quiet." Yet others, compassionate to fallen souls, said to him something else. They told him, "Bewildered son of Brahmana, don't you understand anything? Don't ever again address devotees of Vishnu like that and speak to them in such a way. Initiated by our gurus, we are always worship the Supreme Lord Sri Vishnu with the mantras and methods they have given us. O Brahmana, we are worshipping the Lord in various forms. Some of us worship Him in His form, as in His feature as Nrisimha, some as Lord Raghunath, and others as Sri Gopal." Hearing that, the Brahmana felt very ashamed. With great humility but with joy, he asked them, "Where does this Lord live? What is he like? What benefits is he able to grant?" The holy Vaishnava said, "He is the Supreme Master and he always lives everywhere, both within and without. No one anywhere compares to him in any respect." In this way, they started to inform him. And they told him, the Shrutis and Smritis glorify him. Who can describe his greatness? But while you are here, please listen to the profuse histories spoken about him from the Puranas. Just bow down to Lord Madhav and behold him, the direct manifestation of the Lord of the universe, and soon you will understand for yourself all this and much more. So, they actually informed him that this transcendental knowledge will be revealed in the heart. Dibhogyan Hride Prakashita. So the Brahmana then offered obeisances to Madhava, and then he saw that this personality looks very much like the personality who appears when he chants his mantra. He saw the resemblance. Nonetheless, he remained ignorant. He could not really recognize that the Madhava and the Gopal that he chants in his mantra is the same personality. He continued to think that this Madhava, the Lord of the universe, was the object of worship of the Vaishnavas, and that his object of worship was someone else. Lord Madhava has four arms, he thought, and is decorated with a conch shell, disc, club and lotus. This is not my deity. Why should my Lord look like this? My Lord doesn't appear as half man, half lion. He doesn't become a dwarf or take forms of a fish, a turtle, hog and the like. Nor does he become the Lord of the Raghus, Lord Ramchandra. While the signs of a king, with the signs of king and bow in his hand. But maybe my deity does somewhat resemble to Gopal, worshipped by some of these devotees. Still, I cannot imagine that my deity is the Lord of the universe. My deity doesn't have the characteristics I have heard described in the glorification these Vaishnava devotees were reciting there. And he began to wonder, my Lord takes care of cows in the forest along with his many cowherd friends. He holds a flute in his mouth and is decorated with forest ornaments. Just like an ordinary person, he transgresses the religious principles of saints, being always addicted to playful sports with all the cowherd girls. By the power of the goddess, I have felt bliss in worshipping him. Therefore, I shall never abandon him for my chanting of his mantra. So this is how this personality already developed by chanting the mantra, although he didn't know who Gopal was, who Krishna was. Just by chanting Gopal mantra, he unconsciously developed his attachment. And because of the nature of the object of his meditation, he sometimes fainted in ecstasy. And when he woke up and noticed that the time for chanting his mantra had been lost, he would lament. And he would consider that this fainting and other ecstasies that he was feeling by chanting was a disturbance. What is the cause of this disturbance? Now I'm in great trouble. Night has fallen before I could finish day's chanting. Have I fallen asleep? or become haunted by a ghost, or I'm so wicked that even when I have reason to be sad, I feel happiness in my heart. This actually reminds us Chaitanya Mahaprabhu telling his spiritual master, Kiba mantra dila guru, kiba tar bol, jopite jopite mantra korilo pagol. My spiritual master, my lord, what kind of mantra you gave me? By chanting this mantra, I have become mad. I became mad. So, but what is Guru saying? That is the effect of the mantra. You are very fortunate. By chanting the mantra, you are actually receiving the result of this chanting. So this is what Krishna mantra will do. Without even knowing, we will feel this amazing ecstasy within heart due to the attraction for Krishna. One day, however, while he was lamenting in this way, Madhava appeared to him and consoled him and gave him the instruction. Dear Brahmana, please remember the words of Visheshwar, the husband of Uma. Go to the path along the shore of the Jamuna to Sri Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan. Visheshwar told you, Lord Shiva told you to go to Vrindavan. Why aren't you doing that? Why are you wasting your time here? Go to Vrindavan. By my mercy, there you will obtain extraordinary pleasure. Go and don't delay anywhere on the road for any reason. Thus the Brahmana arose early in the morning and happily set out on his journey. Gradually, he came to Mathura and bathed in Vishranti Ghat. So that is the way to go to Vrindavan. First go to Mathura, take bath in Vishram Ghat or Vishranti Ghat and go to Vrindavan. And when he went to Vrindavan, there he felt enlivened at every moment. For while chanting his mantra, he saw in meditation the most of the companions and surroundings from Krishna's pastimes. And he began to wander in the forest of Vrindavan, the cowherd-laden land, without meeting any people. But at one place on the eastern side of Keshi Tirtha, he heard someone crying. When he was near Keshi Ghat, he heard the sound of someone crying. So he followed that direction where the sound was coming from. He entered a dense, dark forest where he couldn't see anyone. But he discerned the place from which the sound came, and he eagerly went there to the bank of Jamuna. There in a grove of Kadamba trees, he found a handsome young man whose body was very tender, with the dress and accoutrement of a cowherd. Mistaking this person for his worshipable deity, because his worshipable deity Gopal also looked just like that. So he thought that he met Gopal. The Brahmana joyfully called out, "Oh Gopal, oh Gopal," and fell to the ground. This young man then regained his external consciousness hearing that sound. And he told him that, no, you have mistaken. I'm not Gopal. But he recognized this young visitor as a Brahmana, Mathura Brahmana, living in the district of Kamakha and worshipping Shriman Madan Gopal. This cowherd boy stood up and came out of the grove, bowed down to the Brahmana and embraced him and made him sit down. To further gain the Brahmana's confidence, the cowherd pleased him with hospitality and then smiled and revealed something about the Brahmana's life. And the Brahmana now understood that this was a young cowherd boy and accepted him as if the boy were a dear friend. He felt a natural friendship towards him. Happily trusting him, the Brahmana then recounted his own entire life story. He told him how in a dream he received the mantra from Devi, and by chanting he started to lose his attachment to various things, and he left for a pilgrimage. How he came to Kashi, he met the Mayavadis there, how Lord Shiva instructed him to go to Mathura, how in Prayag he met the Vaishnavas, and now he came to Vrindavan. And the Brahmana said, from various sources I have heard of various goals and various methods to achieve them, but still I cannot definitely decide what goal I should strive for and what I should do to reach that goal. Whatever the goddess ordered me, I regularly do. But I have no idea about the result of those duties and even what kind of acts they are. And then he said, I'm very fortunate that I met you. So please guide me. You are just like my worshipable deity, and I am very happy and satisfied to meet you. Now please deliver this wretched soul. Please guide me and deliver me. Then this cowherd boy, he thought that I will try to help this Brahmana. Although one should not speak about his own achievements, own spiritual achievements, but in for the sake of benefiting this Brahmana, I will tell him my story. And he continued to tell him, he started to tell him, certainly no means of perfection is superior to the worship of Shriman Madan Gopal's lotus feet. The ultimate perfection is achieved by worshipping Madan Gopal's lotus feet. That worship yields results far beyond what one could expect. It should be performed mainly through Naam Sankirtan, along with reverence and affection for the many places of Sri Gopal's pastimes, places one should regularly visit. There is no other final goal than that in which pure love of God appears, mocking the four lesser aims of life and bringing the Lord's lotus feet one's control. And he felt describing one's own glories is disapproved by spiritual authorities. But nothing else I could tell will bring about his good fortune. In this way, this saintly son of a cowherd man made up his mind, and he started to tell him. There are many historical accounts relevant to this topic, but I am going to tell you my own story, including recollections of what occurred at times when I was bewildered by ecstasy and other distractions. I am a son of a Vaishya. I am a son of a cowherd man from Govardhan, who made his living as a cowherd. I was a cowherd boy. I used to tend cows. That was my occupation. As a young boy of that community, I used to tend my own cows. In the forest, while tending the cows, Gop Kumar started to tell him that he used to meet one person who was very strange. He used to chant the glory of Krishna all the time. And sometimes he used to sing, sometimes he used to dance, sometimes he used to be absorbed in meditation, and sometimes he gave himself to laughter. Sometimes he used to laugh like a madman. Sometimes he shouted or loudly sobbed or stumbled and fell to the ground and rolled about on the ground like a madman. Sometimes he fell unconscious and lay still like a dead body. The flood of his mucus, saliva and tears turning the dust on the cow's path into mud. Out of curiosity, we cowherd boys, we often come and look at him. But when he saw us in front of him, he would bow down to us with devotion. He used to offer obeisances, seeing these young cowherd boys. He would heartily embrace us and affectionately cover us with kisses. And if we were his best friend, as if we were his best friends, he was unable to give up our company. He was pleased with my services, like giving gifts to milk products. We used to offer him milk products, and he used to feel very happy receiving those products. One day, meeting me on the shore of Jamuna, one day when I was alone, I saw him, I met him. And he told me to go to Jamuna and take a bath and come to him. Please bathe at Keshi Ghat and then accept from me the mercy of the Lord of the universe. So after taking his bath, when Gop Kumar came to him, this person gave him, this Brahmana devotee gave him the Gopal mantra. Although he was so fully satisfied in himself and indifferent to material things, he was the crest jewel of all compassionate souls. He was about to explain the method of worshipping with the mantra. But as soon as he mentioned the object of meditation, he was overcome by pure love of God and he fainted. He first started to cry like a madman, started to cry like a woman. And then, when he regained normal consciousness, I was afraid to ask him anything. He stood up and went away. His guru was instructing him how to chant the mantra, how to meditate on the mantra. But while doing that, he became overwhelmed with ecstasy, and when he came back to his senses, he just left. But because Gop Kumar was instructed by him to chant the mantra, he very diligently started to chant. He had no idea about the mantra that he received. He didn't know what fruit there will be from chanting the mantra. Even how the mantra is to be practiced. Simply out of respect for the brahmana's words, I constantly murmured this mantra in secluded places, unseen by others. I chanted it just out of curiosity. By the influence of that great person, even such aimless chanting purified my mind, and I developed faith in the mantra. Contemplating my guru's words, I understood the mantra to be the means for achieving the Lord of the universe. Thus I became satisfied and absorbed in chanting. And he became eager to know who is that Lord of the universe and when he might be able to see him. And in this way, he lost interest to play with his friends. He just wanted to chant the mantra. Because by chanting the mantra, he would feel such great joy that everything, all other activities became insignificant. He stopped playing with his friends. Rather, it seemed that their association was a disturbance because it was preventing him from chanting. Then he left home and started to walk on the bank of the Ganges. Then he heard the sound of blowing of conch shell and he became curious and he saw a brahmana is worshipping on the bank of the river. He was worshipping his Shalagram Shila. And he asked him, he bowed down, he offered obeisance, and he asked him, "Dear sir, what are you worshipping?" Then laughing, the Brahmana replied, "Dear boy, don't you know that this is the Lord of the universe?" And hearing that, I felt unlimited happiness. Oh, this is the Lord of the universe whose mantra I was chanting. So he became very happy, very excited. He gazed for a long time at the Lord of the universe with faith, bowed down to him, my whole body flat on the ground like a rod. By the Brahmana's mercy, I received some water that had washed the Lord's feet and some remnants of offerings to him. So the Brahmana was a poor Brahmana, so all he could do is bathe the Lord Shaligram and offer some fruits and something. So he gave him the Charanamrita and he gave him some prasad, some remnants. And then the Brahmana, while preparing to return home, lay the Lord of the universe to rest in a box. So seeing that, this boy became very, very worried. And he cried out, "My God, you are putting the Supreme Lord into a box. Such an unfit place, and he hasn't even eaten. How will he sleep if he is hungry?" Oh, excellent Brahmana from Mathura. So Gop Kumar was telling that because of my material condition, I was unaware that the Lord of the universe is different from everyone and everything in this world. As I complained and suffered in my uncontrived lamentation, the Brahmana tried to console me, full of humility, and shyly he spoke, "O Vaishnava, what more can this poor man do? What can I offer to the Lord of the universe besides just only the meals prepared for myself. If you are eager to see the Lord's opulence and great festival of His worship, then please go to the capital of this country's very saintly ruler. Go to the capital of the king of this country. And there he will see how gorgeously the Lord is being worshipped. So hearing that, Gop Kumar just went there. And so then he came there and eager to see the Lord of the universe, and he entered into a temple where in front of me I saw the beautiful four-armed form of the Lord. His four hands decorated resplendent with lotus, conch shell, mess, and disc. All the parts of his body was exquisitely attractive, and his complexion resembled a new rain cloud. Hardly words can describe his youthful beauty. Dressed in yellow silk, ornamented with gold, and garlands with forest flowers, that increased his beauty. His face, with his sweet nectarian smile and lotus-like eyes, appeared like a full moon. So, Gop Kumar thought, today I have seen what I always wanted to see. See, this is how one should see the deity of the Lord. As if seeing Him, one's life mission has been perfected. This form of the Lord is not an ordinary, mundane form. This is the Satchidananda Vigraha. And Gop Kumar saw the Lord in that. Now my life has become fully successful. And he thought, I shall never leave this place. I should never go away from here. I should always stay here. And in this way, Gop Kumar began to live there. The whole day, you just stay there in the temple, see how the Lord is being worshipped. And at night, you just lie down in one corner and spend the night. And the devotees of the Lord would offer him some remnants, some Mahaprasad. And this is how he was spending his time there. The king of that country did not have a son. So the king decided to adopt somebody. And seeing Gop Kumar and his good character, the king noted his good character and developed affection for him. And so he adopted the king, adopted Gop Kumar as his son. And after he died, Gop Kumar inherited his kingdom. And when he became a king, Gop Kumar made elaborate arrangements, even more elaborate arrangements of worshipping of the Lord in the temple. And every day, thousands of saintly personalities were fed with the Mahaprasad of the Lord. So in this way, he was using his royal opulence in the service of the Lord. And service of his devotees. But he noticed that sometimes these people were not respecting Mahaprasad. They would treat the Mahaprasad as if it has become stale or it has become touched by some untouchable person and so forth, and they would disregard that. And seeing that, he used to feel very disappointed. So that made him very... Just then, some venerable saints from south arrived on pilgrimage and told Gop Kumar. One saintly person came and told Gop Kumar that at Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, on the blue mountain on the shore of the salt ocean, Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, the personality of Godhead, is present as the absolute truth manifest in food. With infinite opulence, that Lord himself rules the kingdom of Utkal. He displays his unique glories and always takes affectionate care of his devotees. And his prasad, his offering, are made by Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi herself cooks for Lord Jagannath. And his remnants are never considered to be stale or unacceptable. In whichever condition, even if it is stale, even if it is dry, even if it is touched by some so-called untouchable, the food is, and that food is called Mahaprasad. The food that Lakshmi cooks and Lord Purushottam eats should be accepted without consideration of his being touched or untouched by anyone. It is as pure as Lord Vishnu himself. In Skanda Puran also, it has been mentioned, there is a quotation from Skanda Puran: even if Lord Jagannath's prasad has completely dried up from sitting for a long time or has been carried to a far distant place, if eaten in the proper spirit, it will surely drive away all one's sins. And according to Garuda Puran, there are no restrictions about when to accept this prasad, as there are in the observance of vow like Chandrayan. Whenever one receives Lord Jagannath's prasad, one should eat it at once if one wants to attain liberation of the soul. And that saintly pilgrim told him that that place, Purushottam Kshetra, is so great that even donkeys living there have four arms. Even donkeys there living there have four arms. Anyone who simply enters that district will never take birth again. So what to speak of human beings? Like, all the residents of Jagannath Puri are four-armed associates of the Lord. So in this way he described the glory of Purushottam Kshetra, the Lord of Jagannath. And so Gop Kumar then went there. He saw from a distance the moonlight face of Lord Jagannath, his broad eyes shining brilliantly, his forehead decorated with tilak made of gems. His complexion glowed like a cloud full of rain, and the effulgence of his dawn-colored lips His effulgence of his red lips are all attractive. Moonbeams of unlimited satisfaction emanated from his smile, adding to his beauty. Struck by the ecstasy of pure love and impeded by trembling in my body, I was unable to go forward despite my desire. So this is how Gop Kumar saw Lord Jagannath. Just by sight made him so ecstatic that although he wanted to go forward, he could not. But somehow he reached the Garuda Stambha. His hair standing on end, his vision clouded by tears, Gop Kumar stood there and saw Lord Jagannath, bedecked with jewels and divine garments and flower garlands. The sight of him increased the pleasure of his eyes and mind. So seeing that, he also again felt, now I am seeing what for so long I have wanted to see. From today my life is a real life. I have obtained the Lord of the universe, my master. And at that time, the servants of Lord Jagannath stopped him. Jagannath's guards stand there with sticks in hand. And if somebody acts in an inappropriate way, they even strike them with the stick. So that actually, but the Gop Kumar considered that was Lord's mercy. I reasoned and went outside, where I received the remnants of his Mahaprasad. So this is how Gop Kumar came to Jagannath Puri. Now, so in this way, he started to spend his time. All he wanted is just to be there and see Lord Jagannath, because Lord Jagannath attracted him in such a wonderful way. And so he also, he kind of started to think that I have received the final goal of my chanting. And then he desired, I wish I could also serve Lord Jagannath. But his desire also brought great pain, because that desire remained unfulfilled. So, then one day when he was lamenting like that, and so he saw his spiritual master standing in front of Jagannath Dev, overwhelmed by highest ecstatic love of God. But before he could even speak to him, his guru left. Because he was so absorbed seeing the Lord Jagannath that he didn't notice that his guru left. Then after searching here and there, and the next day he found him on the shore of the ocean, dancing alone in the ecstasies of Nam Sankirtan. And seeing me prostrating like a rod in front of him, my master gave him his blessings. Then he embraced me and mercifully told me. His guru told him, my dear boy, whatever you desire, while chanting your mantra, by his power, you will fully achieve. Indeed, you will attain more than you desire. By chanting the mantra, not only your desires will be fulfilled, but you will get even more than what you desire. What you don't even know, what you can't even imagine, that you will get by chanting the mantra. Please remember, he told him, that this chanting, this mantra, is another form of service to Lord Jagannath. Have faith in this and never give up. Give up your chanting. By the potency of the mantra, may you live a long time. May you always have the form of a cowherd boy. And may you develop the right mentality for testing the mantra's fruit. Sometimes you'll see me here, and sometimes in Vrindavan. Having thus instructed me, my guru suddenly left. So being separated from his guru, Gop Kumar became very, very sad. But when he went to see Lord Jagannath, he regained the peace of his mind and made a great endeavor to chant the mantra. But at the same time, although he was there in Jagannath's presence, but he would miss Vrindavan. His heart would like to go to Brajabhumi. But in Jagannath Puri also, there were many groves, many forests. So he would go there and feel as if those forests were Vrindavan and the ocean was Jamuna and the slope of Niladri hill as Govardhan. In this way, Gop Kumar continued to live there happily. Every day after taking the darshan of Lord Jagannath, Gop Kumar would chant the mantra following the order of his spiritual master. And then the king of Puri passed away. And his eldest son, who was very renounced, refused to accept the kingdom. The ministers consulted the Lord of the universe, Lord Jagannath, and took his command. Ask Lord Jagannath, so what to do? The king has died and the eldest son doesn't want to take the responsibility of the kingdom because he's so renounced. What should be done? Then what did Lord Jagannath say? Lord Jagannath told them to make Gop Kumar the king of that country. So this way, Gop Kumar became the king again. But although he became the king of that place, like before, his only concern was to increase the service of the Lord, glorification of the Lord, and mercy of the Lord. He tried to improve the worship and various festivals of Lord Jagannath in Puri, especially his 12 major festivals, most important among them, the Gundicha Rath Jatra. Absorbed in dancing, singing and so on, the saintly people used to participate in that festivals, in those festivals. So, in this way, he started to spend his time But because of his involvement in his royal responsibilities, ruling the kingdom, his heart could never feel the complete spontaneous ecstasy it used to feel from seeing the Lord. And so he handed over the burden of ruling the kingdom to the king's sons, ministers and relatives of the previous king, and as before, he became uninvolved and aloof. He continued to live in a place nearby the temple, chanting his mantra in private and offering service to the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. But people there already knew that he was who he was. So he found that even that was causing a disturbance, because everybody knew that he was the king. So wherever he would go, people would treat him in such a way that he couldn't find the solitude and peace. So one morning, he went to Lord Jagannath and asked him permission to leave for Vrindavan. But when he saw Lord Jagannath's beautiful face, he forgot all his plans. In this way, 1 year passed, and then one day, I heard some detailed news of Mathura from visitors who had come from there. And that night, as I was lying on my bed, tormented by sorrow and pain, Lord Jagannath then told him, "As dear as this holy place is to me, O son of Cowherd, my birthplace, Sri Mathura, is even more dear. Mathura is adorned with various sights of my childhood pastimes. Just as I live always here in Puri, wandering about everywhere, so do I in Mathura. Why constantly lament, wavering between one decision and another? Just go to Mathura, and in time you will surely see me in the form you desire." So, early that morning, Gop Kumar received a flower garland from Lord Jagannath. The pujari came, gave him a garland, which indicated that Lord Jagannath was approving his plan. And offering obeisances to the chakra on top of the temple, he left for Mathura. So, this is how the first chapter ends. Let's see. So, the first chapter of part 2 ends. So now we go to the second chapter. So coming to Vrindavan, he started to wander in different forests. Unnoticed by his former friends, his friends were there, but they couldn't recognize him. And because they felt that he was a newcomer there. So in this way, he started to spend his time in Vrindavan, living in the forest and receiving some milk products from the cowherd boys there. And then he got to know next, he came across some brahmanas and who were learned in various kinds of scriptures, and he heard something amazing, that above the upper atmosphere there is a world of demigods called Swarga. That world is splendid with formation of celestial airplanes. It is a fearless place devoid of misery and impervious to faults like disease, old age and death. So, and he also was told that there the ruler is the elder brother of the Lord of the universe. In that heaven, the Lord of the universe is present in person as the darling son of Aditi. I heard about that wonderful appearance of Sri Vishnu and as Upendra. So this is how Gop Kumar got to know about Swarga Loka, where Lord is being worshipped by Indra directly. So, Gop Kumar then wanted to go there. And by the chanting of the mantra, a chariot came to take him there. So there he was to see how Indra was worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was spending his time seeing the Lord in person there. And Gop Kumar started to live in the forest, in the garden of Indra called Nandan Kanan. But he always continued to chant his japa. So there also, Gop Kumar, one day Indra, being afraid of some brahmana's curse, ran away, and the demigods looking for Indra couldn't find him anywhere. So they approached Brihaspati what to do, and Brihaspati told them to make Gop Kumar as Indra. So this is how you can see the potency of the mantra. He was being elevated, not only being elevated to from higher and higher abodes, but he also was becoming the rulers of those places. And then one day he saw some great personalities. They were brilliant like sun, many, many suns. And all the demigods were worshipping them. Even Brihaspati was offering obeisances to them. So Gop Kumar wondered who they are. And then Brihaspati told him that they are the residents of Maharloka. They are great sages like Bhrigu, Pulastha, Pulaha, Atri, Angira. Above this world, this heavenly planet, there shines the world, another planet, another region called Maharloka, attained through the best of pious works. Even when the three worlds are annihilated, that world is not destroyed. Even heavenly planet is destroyed at the time of Pralaya, but Maharloka doesn't. As the happiness of Indra is considered millions of times greater than that of a ruler on earth, the happiness of Prajapatis, the saintly personalities from Maharloka, are millions of times greater than Indra's happiness. So, then Gopkumar desired to go to Maharloka. So he was elevated to Maharloka. And there, when he was in Maharloka, the great sages told him that, look, you have come here. This is the region of the Brahmanas. So why are you maintaining your identity as a cowherd boy, as a Vaishya? You assume the status of a Brahmana. We are offering you the state of Brahminical status that is natural for a resident in this planet. Please accept it at once. But Gopkumar thought that I am happier as a Vaishya. He didn't want to give up his identity as a cowherd boy, as a so he decided to maintain his identity as a cowherd boy. Then at the end of Brahma's life, at the end of Brahma's day, 1,000 Chaturjugas, Satta Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, and Kali Yuga. These four Yugas make a day of Brahma. And at the end of the day, Brahma's night begins. And at that time, all the way up to the heavenly planets, all the lower planetary systems become destroyed. And the heat of that annihilation reaches Maharloka. So, at that time, the residents of Maharloka leave Maharloka and go to Janaloka. In Janaloka, and then Gopkumar thought that it is better to go to Jagannath Puri, Purushottam Kshetra, in the shade of the infallible banyan tree. So, in this way, Gopkumar was spending time there. Then once someone arrived from a higher planet, his form surrounded by brilliant light, he was dressed by the direction only. That means he was naked. He appeared to be 5 or 6 years old. The great sages put aside their sacrificial rituals and they all immediately stood up in devotion and bowed down to that boy, that 5-year-old boy. Well, then, after that person left, Gopkumar asked them, who is he? Who was he? Then the Maharshis told him, that is Sanat Kumar, the eldest among all the sages and the greatest. He is the first preceptor of the self-contented sages whose desires are always fulfilled, and he is a lifelong celibate. He lives in the world above ours called Tapoloka with his three brothers and with other great mystics who, like him, are masters of yoga. So in this way, Gopkumar now wanted to go to Tapoloka. And because of the power of his mantra, he was elevated to that place. There he saw the same Sanat Kumar and the blessed Shanaka and Shanandan and Sanatan. The residents of Tapaloka, who appeared similar to the Kumaras, were honoring the four brothers. The Kumars were enjoying themselves, a long discussions incomprehensible to persons like him. And he found that all the residents there were always fixed in samadhi. They were always in trance. They don't have any external consciousness. They're all self-satisfied, lifelong celibates, full in the achievement of all desires and served by mystic perfections. So, Gop Kumar stayed there for some time, and the sage Pippalayan noticed that Gop Kumar had the yearning for Lord Jagannath in Purushottam Kshetra. So he said, why do you want to leave this exalted place for another? And why are you wandering around to see the Supreme Lord with your eyes? You should concentrate your mind in meditation, then you will automatically see the Lord everywhere, and within and without, as if always before you in person. So, but Gop Kumar didn't feel any happiness on those instructions. And it's a long instruction Sanat Kumar, Pippalayan gave. So, do you remember who is Pippalayan? Pippalayan is another Yogendra, one of the Nava Yogendras, nine sons of King Rishabdev. Rishabdev had 100 sons. The eldest was Bharat Maharaj, who became, after him, this land has been known as Bharatvarsha. Bharat Maharaj, who actually left his kingdom and went to the forest, went to the Gandaki, and as you know, like he actually, due to his attachment to a deer, he got the body of a deer. But then he appeared as Jarat Maharaj. So, 9 out of those 100 sons of Rishabdev became yogis, yogendras, the best of the yogis. They were Kabi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pippalayan. That is the Pippalayan who is instructing. And then one day, Lord Brahma came to Tapaloka, riding on Swan. He was on his way to Pushkar Deep to grace his devotees with a visit. So Gop Kumar didn't know who he was. So he, when he left, he wondered who this was. And they told him that this was the beyond this planet. Even after reaching this planet, you still do not know who this person is, they asked. He is Lord Brahma, the Lord of all the lords of the living beings. He is our Father, the creator of the universe, the self-born. He sits on the highest seat of authority. He maintains and guides the created world. His planet called Satyaloka stands above all others. It is achieved by persons who have done their prescribed duties purely for 100 lifetimes. And within Satyaloka is a Vaikuntha planet where the thousand-headed divine lord of the universe is always present as the Mahapurusha. Although said to be the son of Mahapurusha, Brahma is non-different from him. In our opinion, the one absolute truth assumes both these forms as a pastime. Now hearing that, Gop Kumar wanted to go to Satyaloka. And as he chanted the mantra with that desire, and as he opened his eyes, he found himself in Satyaloka. And before him was the Blessed Lord of the universe. He was huge with thousands, he was seeing Mahapurusha with thousands arms, heads and feet. He resembled a dark blue cloud and was richly adorned with suitable ornaments. He was an ocean of brilliant effulgence. His navel was beautiful like a lotus. Lying on the bed of Ananta Shesha, he enchanted everyone's eyes and minds. Goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi massaged his feet. In this way, he perceived the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Satyaloka, present as Mahapurusha, and so he lived there in Brahma Satyaloka happily for some time with and he used to see how Lord was instructing Brahma himself. And during the dark of night, when the three worlds are totally destroyed and the universe became a single ocean, the Personality of Godhead lies comfortably on Sheshanag together with Brahma. Then while Gop Kumar was in Tapaloka, Satyaloka, then one day Brahma playfully touched the mass of foam, and that turned into a demon. And being afraid of the demon, Brahma ran away. Terrified by him, Brahma fled. The Personality of Godhead killed the demon, but Brahma, overcome by fear, did not come back, and the Lord assigned me to his post. Mahapurusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assigned the post of Brahma to Gop Kumar. And becoming Brahma, he sent Vaishnavas into the creation to increase devotional service to the Lord. He sent the Vaishnavas to different planets to spread Krishna consciousness. Indeed, I only engage Vaishnavas everywhere in all responsibilities. Arranging for the Almighty Lord to be worshipped in all directions with great sacrifice, like Ashwamedha, I flooded the universe with joy. So in this way, Gop Kumar. But then when he heard that at the end of his lifespan of two Prarathas, I was going to die, he became afraid and chanted his mantra. Remembrance of the Brajabhumi gave me more distress. So then, when he was there, the Puranas and Agamas, they were personified actually. Because Brahma gave different personalities, different instructions. And they are the Upanishads and Puranas personified. So they were having some argument among themselves. So some other Shruti Smritis, some Agamas, many of the prestigious presiding goddesses of Upanishads answered, joined by Shrutis and Smritis. They say that only by knowledge is liberation achieved. They were talking about liberation. And these Upanishads claim that personified Upanishads are having discussions. They said only by knowledge liberation is achieved. But some Puranas and Agamas said gravely that this knowledge, difficult to obtain, is easily acquired by devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God. The knowledge, jnana, they are claiming that jnana is the means of achieving liberation. But Puranas and Agamas, some Puranas and Agamas claim that by devotion to the Lord, this knowledge is easily achieved. But then some Smritis and Smritis agreed, some did not. And in this way, they started to have arguments among. A fierce debate then arose between Agamas on one side and scriptures like certain Shrutis and Puranas on the others, about whether or not liberation is achieved merely by chanting mantras that worship the personality of God. It's important to notice here. What is the ultimate conclusion? The ultimate conclusion actually came from Srimad Bhagavatam, who is considered to be the highest of all the scriptures. Shatata Siddhanta. And so Bhagavatam gave the ultimate conclusion that chanting the holy name of the Lord is the means for highest achievement. If knowledge gives liberation, if liberation is the goal of jnana, then that jnana is automatically received by rendering devotional service to the Lord, by chanting the mantra that glorifies the Lord. Because there is another consideration, that Bhakti Devi, Bhakti is a personality. Bhakti Devi has two sons, Jnana and Vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. So wherever the mother is, the children are also there with her. So wherever Bhakti Devi is being worshipped, her sons, two sons, renunciation and knowledge are always there. Where whoever renders service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he automatically receives knowledge and renunciation. Therefore, saintly authorities consider jivas both different and non-different from the Supreme. As a rule, even when the jivas are liberated, the difference endures. Like it is not that by achieving liberation one becomes one with the Lord. The Puranas are making that conclusion. The jivas always maintain his identity as a jiva. Some jivas are liberated, mukta, nitya mukta, and some jivas are conditioned, nitya baddha. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the source of everything, source of all the jivas. And in the spiritual world, all the jivas are liberated souls. When jiva is liberated by knowledge of his true self, the real knowledge is the knowledge about the self, knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the knowledge about how to render devotional service unto. And when one becomes situated in that knowledge properly, then Maya releases that person. And his wandering in this material world comes to an end. He then perceives himself to be full of bliss as a small portion of the Supreme. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam and other Sattata Puranas establish the ultimate conclusion. Then they make another very important point. How can the scriptures glorify liberation? The liberation is given to the demons. Demons, those who are condemned by the scriptures, killers even of cows and brahmanas. So those who are opposed to the Supreme Lord, those who have been condemned by the scriptures, those who are the killer of cows and brahmanas, those demons, they achieve liberation. So how can scriptures establish that liberation to be the ultimate goal? Very important point that came from the scriptures. Saints and demons are in all respects opposite in nature. It is therefore only fitting that they be opposite in their disciplines and goals. One becomes saintly only by devotion to Krishna. That is the highest means of spiritual attainment, and it brings one to the highest goal, Lord Krishna's lotus feet. And for those great souls who know the truth and have a taste for nectar of pure devotional service, that nectar of serving Lord Krishna's lotus feet is itself the goal. So, in this way, through the agamas, through the scriptures, the ultimate goal had been established. That extraordinary happiness is always one, yet it assumes many features. It stands in contrast to the happiness of impersonal liberation. Devotional happiness is made of the intense sweetness of sporting pastimes in the highest devotional service to the Lord. Persons unfamiliar with this pleasure cannot even imagine what it is like. So then, Gopkumar was told that outside this universe, which extends for 500 million yojanas, are 8 coverings of the shell, each 10 times thicker than the one before. By crossing beyond those shells, one reaches the abode of Lord Mahakal, the imperishable abode where material existence disappears. The abode of Mahakal is beyond this material existence. It is called Mahakalpura because there all material causes and effects are non-existent. Lord Mahakal's personality cannot be described, but wise sages somehow describe him. He appears with form or without, in accord with various mentalities of his worshipper. So they instructed, so by the potency of your transcendental mantra, there you'll directly achieve the complete fulfillment of your long cherished desires. If you do not wish to spend long time here, then just go to your Brajabhumi in Sri Mathura. Sri Gopkumar then told the Mathur Brahman, these words of the scriptures greatly strengthened my devotion for the Supreme Lord, and this thought was born in my heart. And here I have gained in person, as my own father, the Lord whose devotional service is so great. Why indeed should I abandon him and go elsewhere? So in this way, when his mind was perturbed, the Supreme Lord himself, the reservoir of mercy, who knows what takes place in everyone's heart, visited him and spoke. And the Lord told him, go to Mathura, to your dearest pasturing grounds, to the land adorned with many places of my varied supreme pastimes. Though a long time has passed since Brahma himself prayed for birth as a blade of grass in Braja, that land now appears the same as then. There you will again meet your Guru, most dear to me, and by his mercy you'll be empowered to understand everything in full. Indeed, you will soon come to me in person in Mahakalpura. There you will attain extreme bliss that will enchant your hearts. By the power of my mercy, the Lord told him, by the power of my mercy, you will wander about freely and enter into hundreds of amazing wonders. So this is how he asked him to go to Vrindavan. And Gopkumar overcame both with joy and sorrow at the Lord's command by the power of his mantra, and mind at once came to the beautiful Vrindavan. So from the topmost part of the planet, the topmost part of this universe, Sataloka, Gopkumar came back to Vrindavan. So this is the end of the second chapter of the part 2 of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There are only 10 minutes left for to be 7. It seems that there are some questions. Let us see how many I can answer. So, there is a question from Parameshwari Radhika from Gurgaon. Even though Krishna is Atma Ram, he has a very deep affection and attachment for Brajabasis. How can we understand this? Krishna is Atma Ram, Krishna is not only Atma Ram. Krishna is actually Anandamaya. Anandamaya. So, in order to increase this Ananda, Krishna performs his pastimes with his devotees. What is the connection between two parts of Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Like Srimad Bhagavatam is in story form. What connects Brihad Bhagavatamrita? So let me come to the end of the second part, then I'll tell you. Don't jump. Parameshwari Radhika Dasri. Just listen. When you come to the end, then you will see the connection. So, Achyuta Nam Das, question from morning session. Hare Krishna, dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Why Brahmaji did not send Krishna and Balaram to original Vrindavan instead of Nava Vrindavan constructed by Vishwakarma? So that has been explained why Krishna didn't want to go to Vrindavan. Like, that is why Brahma did not transgress Krishna's desire. Brahma wanted Krishna to go to Vrindavan, decide whether he would go to Vrindavan and when he would go to Vrindavan. There is a big question from Udayananda Prabhu. Krishna and Arjun traveled off the earth beyond the universe through eightfold covering, then went out of the Mahatattva to the Karana ocean where Mahavishnu was lying on Anantashesha. Anyway, Mahavishnu doesn't lie on Anantashesha. It's Garbhadokshay Vishnu is lying in Anantashesha. Anyway, by a simple calculation, that is over a trillions of miles away. If Krishna can travel trillions of miles to see Mahavishnu, why did he not travel to few hundred miles from Dwarka to Vrindavan? So this has been explained by Krishna himself. Anyway, it's the same question coming to that actually. Krishna is Atmaram also. Krishna is feeling so many separation from Vajabhasis. Gurudev, how can we understand this? Oh, Parameshwari Dasvi, same question. Came in twice. I can't read, this handwriting is so bad. The Gita Kirti Radhika Dasi, you mentioned Narad Muni went to Sutala Loka to meet Prahlad Maharaj. As great a devotee Prahlad Maharaj was, why was he in Sutala Loka, which is a part of the lower planetary system? Sutala Loka is a part of the lower planetary system, but Sutala Loka is more opulent than heavenly planets. So, it is actually Bali Maharaj is there also, and Krishna is guarding the gate of Bali Maharaj's palace. And so, that is their kingdom. The kingdom of the Daityas is Sutala Loka, therefore Prahlad Maharaj. There, Bali Maharaj is there. So next one, Vimal Bhakti Devi Dasi. As you mentioned, that if we keep on chanting continuously, ecstasy will arise. Not continuously will give ecstasy. Proper pure chanting will give ecstasy. The purification of the heart will give ecstasy. It is not by any mechanical means we'll get ecstasy. Oh, I am chanting constantly, so I'll get ecstasy. On the other hand, it is said, koti janmo kore jodi naam sankirtan tobuto na pai krishna pade prem. If one is chanting the holy name of the Lord for millions of lifetimes, still he may not get the mercy of the Lord. Okay, I'll just answer this one question. Hanum is asking in Bengali, Lal Govinda Das, where is Lal Govinda Das? Hanuman ekti jontu, sacharachar poshura bikoshito chetanay thake na, tai Bhagavane seva korte pare na. Kintu Hanuman poshur jivan prapto hoyo, sarbashreshtho bhaktoder moddhe ekjon shreshtho bhakter drishtanto, kibhabe eta sombhab? Daya kore tar barnana bhago. So okay, I'll answer in Bengali and then I'll answer the question. By the mercy of the Lord, everything is possible. Even an animal can become a pure devotee. It's a Hanuman is not an ordinary animal. Hanuman is a great exalted personality. And he is the son of a demigod, Pavan Dev. And he is a great devotee of the Lord. So, Vaishnavir nahi jati kuladi vichar. For a Vaishnav, there is no consideration of birth and caste and creed. Garuda is a bird. Garuda is the carrier of the Lord, the greatest devotee of the Lord. Gajendra was an elephant. He was a devotee. If Hanuman is an animal, we are even worse than animal. And still we are getting access to devotion. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande Hare Hare. So, now is the kirtan session. I am feeling quite strained from the class. So do you still want me to do the kirtan? Or maybe Pundarik can lead the kirtan. No. Our Udayananda Prabhu will lead the kirtan. Thank you, Udayananda Prabhu. And I also have a GBC conference call. That, of course, is within after half an hour at 7:30. So there also I have to speak for 1.5 hours. So I will just take a break now. And so you all have kirtan led by the ecstatic Udayananda Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare.